Radio.
Come Follow Me, a talk by Robbie Curtis at Ignite Live.
That was quite the welcome. Thank you very much for having me tonight, Ignite Live, and thanks to the band for the really groovy intro. I don't know whether I was walking onto the stage for X Factor or The Voice or something. It was kind of something else. I feel really honoured and privileged to be here tonight, and there's no better way for me to start than by just acknowledging the many people that have gathered in this space for thousands of years before our time, before our ancestors, before our bloodlines. Not all of us, but most of us. I want to honour and really pay my respects to the Jagera people. I want to pay my respects to the elders in this area. Des Sandy and many others who fight for culture, who fight to keep the dream of their people alive here in 2017. So I pay my respects as I speak tonight. I feel really honoured to be here to speak about this this theme, Come Follow Me. I sort of didn't know where to really go with it because like, there's so many different angles you can take when it comes to following Jesus. But I thought, you know, I've got to go right back to when the rubber hit the road, right back to when I said, this is it. This is all or this is nothing. And I've got to go back to that moment. And like some of you, I grew up Catholic and my experience was positive in the household. It was very positive. So very, very formative, very much shaped in me, a simplicity and a real heart for people. Not so much a heart for some of the things we get caught up in and some of the political things and some of the different things that go on within church and culture, but just about people. So as a young man, that foundation was really, I guess, priceless for me. And I need to honour my parents who are here tonight. I need to honour them for the great love, for the great support, for the great witness, for the great way in which they've followed Jesus and the way they've encouraged me to come follow Jesus. So I've got to start there. And I've got to also pay respects to my grandmother who in the last 2 weeks passed away. She was a convert to Catholicism back in England, brought a young family out here on a boat. She was a real warrior, a real incredible woman. She was in the early days involved with the Marion Valley and a lot of what happened there and setting that up down in Canungra, heavily involved in the coast within her parish. She was also from the Third Order, if I get this right, of the Franciscans. So she was a lay married woman with a family who devoted her life to the ways of St. Francis through the lay ministry in the church. So I've got to stop also by and really pay my respects to her because I think I stand here tonight because of the choice she made at 14. The choice against family, the choice against her household, the choice against some of the pressures at her time, the cultural pressures, the religious pressures, some of the ways in which we really treat each other badly within the church. She responded and she felt called. She said at 14, this is the church for me. This is the one true church. So I have to pay my respects. So Grandma, thank you. I want to take you back to 2003. I spoke at one of the very first Ignite Lives. It was called Fuel That's On. It was at St. Pat's in the Valley. Some of you are going, yeah, I remember it. It was cool. Yep, hear the yeahs at the back. They're all at the back because they've all got kids now. But I want to take you back to 2003. I came off the tail end of an awesome experience. I went to what they call the beatification of Mother Teresa. I had a friend, Franksy, who's also in the room, just come out of hospital. So awesome to have you too, Franksy. And he said to me, you know, Robbie, he calls me Cruiser. Cruiser, do you want to go on this trip with me? Mother Teresa's going to be beatified. I wasn't exactly sure what that meant, but I knew it was something to do with, you know, something pretty special in the church. It was happening in Rome. I knew Rome was kind of the place, you know, it was where it happened for Catholics and that. And I thought, yeah, I want to go. This would be cool. I was a little nervous about flying. Anyone who knows me, anyone who went to the Philippines with me would know how nervous I am in the plane. Just came back from Sydney last week and I almost passed out the whole, I'm one of those people they should do an interview about and capture me and put it on reality TV about how weird people are in planes. I'm one of them. So, If I could drive or I could get in a boat, I would, and I have, instead of flying. Anyway, back to 2003, I was asked to speak at one of the very first Ignite Lives at Fuel in the Valley, and I was with a group of young adults who were very passionate about Jesus, very passionate about their Catholic faith, very passionate about worship, passionate about the sacraments, passionate about just living for Jesus every day, prayer, being consistent in that response. And that was a really incredible environment for me to walk into. I hadn't always experienced that same passion within the church. I found that church for me as a young guy was a little bit more like, I didn't know whether we were at the morgue or whether we were at some sort of celebration of something, because it was confusing as to whether church was to be celebrated or whether it was to be really sad and down in the dumps. But the scriptures kind of said it should be, you know, joyful and all these things, but it was just worlds apart. But I met these people and they're incredible. They had a passion and a zeal for Jesus that that I really wanted. It was infectious. And I definitely, as a young man, a little lost in it all, a little confused, two feet, one foot in one camp, one foot in the other. I was a little confused, but realized that I was going to follow these guys. I was going to go away with these guys, come away with them and follow them and go with them on this journey towards Christ, because I knew it was true. I knew it was true. I couldn't deny that, but didn't quite know what the application of that was. But in 2003, I discovered some incredible things. I was asked to speak on the experience I had at that pilgrimage. I can't see any of you, just so you know. I'm looking at you. If I look like I'm just gazed, it's because of this light right here. I can't see you. But I was asked to speak about that experience, that pilgrimage. And I didn't exactly know what to say because I was a little overwhelmed. I wasn't so much into the bells, the smells and the whistles. I was more into kind of the people thing that went on at home. And I'd come back to fall in love with that sort of people thing. But I knew that neither of them were void of each other. That what happens over there and that experience I had going into these basilicas and going to these holy places, that was just as important as the domestic home back in Ipswich where I grew up, and what happened there with some really interesting sorts of people that were welcomed into our home as a result of the faith. So I knew there was a relationship. I knew that it was all part of the same response. But I don't know what to talk about. I talk about the basilicas. I talk about Mother Teresa and the Sunday when she was beatified. But I couldn't help but want to talk about very much what it was that I encountered, because the encounter for me was the most powerful part. And what I encountered was a woman who was called to come follow Christ from a young age, and a woman who went against so many things in her time that were weren't considered acceptable, and had a deep devotion, a deep call to take this thing of Jesus and this faith and this experience and this devotion out into the streets, out into the marketplace. And I fell in love with that. I fell in love with the stories. I sat with Mother Teresa's sisters in some of the devotionals, and they would talk about her, some who knew her, some who were just part of the order because they were called. But I heard the stories and I thought that was the most impressive thing to me. The fact that this very ordinary person, this very small, ordinary person in India was able to make such a difference and make such a hamper on society that she's remembered forever, and she'll always be a social justice, a humanitarian, some sort of Catholic social action. She'll always be a model for the history of mankind. We will always call on her for intercession. We will always ask her to pray for us. She will be the woman that we know when we talk about the poor. You guys already know that. Even if you're here for the first time, you've heard of her before. And there was that experience on that Sunday when I saw people from all different faiths, different orientations, different cultural groups coming together to celebrate in that St. Peter's Square. And it just blew my mind away. I couldn't really follow it. It was just so much ceremony and so many different things happening that I didn't really know what was going on. But what I did know is that there were so many people gathered, and so many different types of people gathered, a real snapshot of our world and a snapshot of the society at the time was represented on that day. And I thought, wow, that was powerful. I thought there was something about this poor thing. There was something about laying down your life for those in the community that were vulnerable, those who were forgotten, those who were ill, those dying, those that the world had turned their back on, those that society had walked over, those that society had not even acknowledged as people, not even with dignity. And I thought, you know what, this is powerful stuff. This is really powerful because, you know what, we're talking about it. The world is talking about it. And all she did was just respond to the invitation from Jesus to come follow me. You know, it was that I spoke about on that day. I spoke about that experience on that night, sorry. And I shared about how powerful that was. And that was the highlight for me. It was awesome. Everything else was great. I got to go to so many awesome places, but that was the highlight. The fact that I was first front row seat to the witness of her life and what it was that she did. And I felt the Lord call me. I felt the Lord say, Robbie, I want you to do the same thing. I want you to do the same thing. And I wasn't sure what that meant at the time. I think I thought that I was going to go to Africa or India or South America or somewhere. I thought that's what you do if you're a missionary. You go to those places. But I took some years in the formation trench, just working on myself, sinking my teeth in some real good fellowship with some good people, sitting at the feet of some real spiritual giants, because I knew that I wasn't ready, and God knew that I wasn't ready to do anything more at the time than just to be fed, to strengthen that platform, to strengthen that encounter, to continue to grow that encounter, to come and worship with God, to come and be fed through the scriptures, fed through church, fed through so many different avenues within church. And that was my journey for the next little while. What built in me was a restlessness, because I knew that I was being called, but I didn't know what it was about. And I was frustrated. Anyone who knows me knows how frustrated I was about maybe 9 or 10 years ago. I was a frustrated young man who loved Christ, who wanted to follow him with all his life, but didn't know what to do. Didn't know where to sort of do that. You know, I was into the music thing. That was cool. It's still cool. I enjoy that. I think it's awesome what this team has done. Great team. And it's really powerful that we come together and worship. But that wasn't it for me. That wasn't the pinnacle. That wasn't what it was about. That wasn't the summary of all this. That wasn't the Mother Teresa thing. It was part of it, don't get me wrong, but that was not it. That was not the fullness. That I hadn't reached it because I'd written a song and worshiped with 300 people in the room. That was not it for me. I took some time sort of discerning that. I was married at this time. I've got a beautiful young family, and Catherine is the absolute warrior behind the scenes when it comes to all that I'm involved in. She has just made so many sacrifices, and for that I'm very appreciative as I give some shout-outs tonight. So thank you, Catherine, and the crew, the Curtis Cyclone Category 6 from Carolee. I wasn't sure whether we were going to go to Africa, because Catherine had done that a little bit. I wasn't sure what we're going to do. But I felt the Lord clearly after some time say, Robbie, I want you to serve here in Brisbane. I want you to serve in your own backyard. I want you to respond here in Brisbane. And I thought, that's not Mother Teresa. I thought, you don't come back with photos of this sort of stuff. It's just Brisbane. I know Brisbane. I've done Brisbane all my life. I've played the music scene. I've seen the nightlife. I know what Brisbane's about. And I was kind of frustrated with that, but I couldn't deny that was where the Lord was calling me. I thought maybe I should tease it out a bit, and maybe I'm meant to go remote within Australia. I'm meant to go somewhere else. And it was kind of like, none of it sort of worked out. None of it, I'd pray through it and holy people would pray with me, but none of it worked out. So I was kind of confused. I was like, what's that all about? What are we doing? And at the time, having experienced this call, I guess we were doing some renegade stuff. We were hitting the streets before I had kids. We were hitting the nights, getting out, seeing really where our people were at, seeing where the largest youth groups and young adults groups on Friday, Saturday night, seeing where it was at, seeing where the streeties were at, seeing where our Indigenous brothers and sisters were really at when it comes to central sort of movement and what happens in our city, what happens very much where we are today right now, what would happen within a probably 200 meter radius of where we are now. Just really understanding the climate, understanding the landscape so that I could give an informed response in some ways. There was an opportunity arose to respond, and it was in the same year that our first saint, Mary MacKillop, was called forth to the same thing that Saint Teresa of Calcutta was called to last year, and that was to be called, recognised as a saint, to be recognised for her service, recognised for the contribution to this nation, this soil, this land, the development of our country, integration of first Australians and Europeans, all those things. She was a part of all that. She was a woman of faith. And that year was no coincidence that same year that we responded. And we've really felt that, like the scripture today at Mass, that the Lord was asking us to no longer turn a blind eye to the need, no longer see needs within our own community here in Brisbane and see Brisbane as some sort of substandard missionary field, but to see Brisbane and see the potential, to see the brokenness, and to see, you know what, in some ways, if I'm bold enough, to see how more complex it is here than anywhere else in the world because of the lucky country, because of what this nation is capable of doing in anyone's life, but seeing the great brokenness, the great poverty, the great injustice, the great struggle, the great addiction, the great violence, the great trauma, all those things, seeing that and touching those wounds here in Brisbane, touching Christ's wounds through the streeties, through those coming out of the correction system, through those on our streets, those gathering in our clubs, those wherever they may be, wherever they find themselves congregating, but here on our own soil, here in our own backyard. And I just started to burn with this passion that it was time to take back. It was time to bring back lost brothers and sisters, Bring them back to the place that I encountered, back to that place that Mother Teresa encountered, that place that Mary MacKillop had encountered. And no matter what was going on at the time, no matter what political jargon was happening at the time, bring them back to the home, bring them back to the house, bring them back to the place and the table with Jesus. That sounds poetic, like I've brought a million people back to God. It's not true. But this was the vision, this was the heart behind what happened for me. You know, Mother Teresa, she talks about the scriptures and how powerful the scripture is and the word of God is in her life, and talks about it in ways that are just so simple yet so divine. The scripture that spoke into my life and I want to share with you tonight, and to the point where it's forever with me, is the scripture out of Matthew's gospel. For a new Christian here tonight or a new person coming for the first time, the gospel is about 2/3 of the way through the Bible, and it's called Matthew at the top. And you can open up at Matthew 25, okay? Matthew 25, I thought was kind of appropriate tonight because the readings, and if you were at Mass with us today, you would have heard Dom, our worship leader, so creatively lead us in the psalm. And the psalm said, "The Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I shall want." And this scripture talks about the sheep and the goats. It talks about when the shepherd returns, and he returns and he comes in all his glory. He talks about what's going to be happening at the time. He talks about this imagery, and he gives us this example of the sheep and the goats. And he says that the sheep will pass through the narrow gate, and the goats will pass through the wide gate. And he's talking to his disciples, and they're a little bit like, "What are you suggesting here, Lord? What are you sort of saying?" And he says that, you know, many, if we must, to know Christ, to know him fully, is to feed the hungry, is to clothe the naked, is to visit those in prison, is to visit those who are sick, is to care for the orphans, the widows, the stranger. He gives us so many different examples there of the sort of person that he's asking us to reach out to. And he says, when you do these things, you do it to me. When you do these things to a stranger, to a prisoner, to someone who's sick, to someone who's struggling, someone homeless, someone who's part of some sort of group that's been pushed to the outer of our society. When you do these things, you do it to me. And he says, whenever you did this to the least, you do it to me. And they go, "Well, when did we see you?" And he says, "Well, whenever you did it to them." And they feel a little bit, probably, I'm guessing they feel a bit of challenge, going, "Well, what if we're not doing this stuff, you know?" And he says that those who do this will enter through to eternal life. Those who do not will pass through the wide gate. And this is the part the social justice community sort of stops at when it comes to liturgies and school things and whatever it is in the church. We sort of stop there and go, we don't talk about hell. We don't talk about anything that's kind of suggesting an absence of God. But he says that those will pass through the wide gate. Those who did not reach out to me, those who did not embrace me, those who did not go and visit me in prison, those who did not see me when I was sick, those who did not help me in the schoolyard when I was being bullied, those who did not help me at work when my marriage was breaking down, those who did not support me at the Christmas table because I'm the weird one in the family. And we didn't do it to those people. We ignored Christ. We ignored the invitation to follow him. We ignored the opportunity to follow him. And we were ignorant to the heart of the gospel. What it's truly about when all this fades away, when this building is gone, what it's truly about. And he says, those who don't will pass through the wide gate into the eternal flames. Something to that effect. And then he talks about eternity. He talks about the great gift that is before us. Should we do these things? Now, some of you teenagers are going, "Far out, Robbie. Like, what are you suggesting I should be doing?" Some of you older people are saying, "Geez, this dude's a bit sort of pushing it." Whatever your experiences of me saying that, I'm just sharing with you scripture. I'm just sharing with you imagery. I'm sharing with you what Jesus said to a group of very simple people in a time in which there was vulnerability, in a time in which there was addiction, in a time in which there was impurity, in a time in which there was those being pushed in the outsides of the villages because of their physical illnesses. And then we're flooded with these images of Christ going to the woman caught in adultery. We're flooded with these images of Zacchaeus, the tax collector, ripping people off, ripping off probably young families, probably ripping off people who were quite vulnerable and walking a fine line financially. He's just taking advantage of having a good old time. But he's heard this thing about Jesus and Christ reached out to him. You know, we hear about today the blind man, the man who has an impairment and he's probably suffered his whole life. We hear that in the gospel today, and Jesus rubs a paste in his eyes and tells him to open his eyes and he can see. I think the big thing for me was with that encounter was that I had to have an experience. I had to know God. I had to meet him. But then it was about the idea of coming to follow was then about a journey of discipleship. That was about becoming a disciple of Jesus. That was sitting at Jesus' feet. That was sitting at Jesus' feet through people that had been maybe walking this journey a little longer than I had. So maybe through some priests in the ministry of the church. Maybe through the scriptures and breaking them open each day and following the missal and the scriptures that millions of people are reading every day. I was called to be formed and shaped, but as I got into it, as I got more into it, it couldn't become more clear. It couldn't become more clear that we were called, each one of us, as we're called to prayer, as we're called to fasting, we're called to almsgiving. And that almsgiving, as Isaiah would say, is to feed the hungry, is to shelter those in need, is to proclaim God's favor, but reach out to the orphan, the widow, and not to forget our own. So not to forget the very people sitting here tonight, not to forget each other, not to forget your mates in the schoolyard. You don't turn your back on any of them. You don't turn your back on your families. It's about placing them first and foremost, but from that great gift, from that space, going forth and reaching out. I'm aware that I'm speaking to a wide range of age groups here, and some of this would feel a little over your head for a young person. Maybe there's not much you feel you can do. Well, I'm here to tell you something else, okay? Because when I was 30, I'm 33 now, 3 years ago, I met a guy I went to school with. And he was homeless. He'd been using ice. He had developed some paranoid schizophrenia. He was experiencing psychosis. This was not a normal guy. He'd experienced a lot at school. When he was at school, he was kind of the butt of every joke. He was physically assaulted at school. He was treated very badly. You know, right from the age of 12 when I hit high school, right through to 17 when I finished at high school. No year was ever different. Just that he got a bit bigger in year 12 and he started to fight back. But he was damaged goods. And I remember it clearly. I saw him 3 years ago at a homeless men's hostel in Brisbane. Maybe 4 years ago now, sorry. 4 years ago at a homeless men's hostel in Spring Hill. Okay, close to probably where some of you go to school or live. Now he's sitting there contemplating his life. And as I said to him, I said, it's good to see you. And I won't give his name, but it's good to see you. How you been? He said, horrible. He added a few colourful words. Horrible. Life's been horrible. And I said, you know, what have you been doing? He's like, well, I've just been in and out of these sort of places since sort of school. And he said to me, you know, I was never worth nothing, Robbie. He's like, something to the effect of, you'd remember that. I was never worth nothing. And you know what I can honestly say to you today as I sit here and quote Mother Teresa and Mary McKillop, you know, I was one who laughed. I was like some of you, and I laughed. I never hit him. I never assaulted him. I was never sort of the perpetrator of any sort of humiliation, but I laughed at age 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. I laughed. What if I hadn't laughed at that age? What if I had listened to what I heard on Sunday? And what if I had opened up Matthew 25 and I had realized very much in the midst was my opportunity to respond? What if I had had that opportunity? I didn't, but what if I had have? What if I had reached out to him? What if I had stood staunch in front of some very cowardly bullies? And what if I had stood staunch for him and said, that's enough? What if I had helped rebuild him and helped shape and form him because someone told me that's what it was to be a Christian, that's what it was to follow Jesus? I could have been a part of the change. I could have been a part of a difference. I could have been a part of a man who went on to achieve and to fulfill greater things than sitting in a homeless hostel using ice and screwed up mentally. That's the difference you can make today when we come follow Jesus. You know, as you might be here for the first time, you're going, wow, what have I come to? That's okay. I'm not here to tell you a flowery message. I'm not here to tell you you're just loved. I'm here to tell you you're loved. Okay, and you're asked to follow. And in the scriptures today, you're also asked to worship. The blind man, he worshipped. That's what they say, the very talent. I don't know if anyone caught that. And he bowed down and worshipped God. So what happens here tonight isn't sort of separate to what I'm suggesting. This is where we fill up, guys. This is the missionary wellspring in some ways, if you like it. This is the place you come to be formed, to be discipled, to hear and be encouraged, to feel as though there's others in 2017 in Brisbane and surrounding areas that are serious about this stuff. But I'm here to tell you a message that isn't flowery. I'm here to tell you that God just loves you, that's it. You just go on a journey of internal Christian, internal disciple, internal following. If you accept this message from Jesus, you accept Matthew 25:40. It is not about gifts. It is not about skills. Those things are secondary to this. Almsgiving is primary. Prayer, fasting, those things are primary. That's before music. That's before any other ministry roles. It's before job descriptions. It's before those things. We're called. I could talk about this forever. I'm not going to because for some of you, it's probably already too much. But I think you get what I'm saying. I think you understand where I'm coming from tonight. And it's been a real honor and a privilege the last decade to work with, I'm not going to call it work, to love and to be in community with the homeless, with some of our Indigenous brothers and sisters here within Brisbane and different parts of Australia. It's been an absolute honor and privilege to meet guys that have been released from prison and trying to start a new life and got nothing. Got no framework but a monthly parole check-in. It's been an absolute privilege to work at our centre the last 2.5 years, approaching 3 years. We've run a drop-in centre in South Brisbane, not too far from South Bank. And it's been an absolute honour those 4 days that we're open each week to provide that space, to provide that sanctuary for people that are vulnerable, people that are homeless, people that have got nothing to their name, have no one who even texts us, calls them, follows them up. It's been an absolute privilege to stand with them and to learn so much from them. And I'm starting to understand why Mother Teresa was able to devote her whole life because of the grace that comes from these people. It's not about what we do for them. Okay, often it's about what they do for us, for these people. Their stories, the tragedy, the heartache, the brokenness, the absolute turmoil, the incarceration, the addiction, the loss, the grief. It's absolutely beautiful to sit with those people and to love them, to be with them. I couldn't help tonight but want to put out an invitation to any of you that want to serve. Any of you that may find that on school holidays, you've got your parent might come with you if you're under the age of 18. If you're over the age of 18, you've got some time in a uni break or you've got some time during the week because of your schedule at the moment. Any Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday or a Saturday to come into our centre, number 19 Merivale Street, not too far from the go-between, to come in there and just be. Come in there and be present with the sort of people I'm talking about tonight. Come in there and sit and just share your life, even if you feel like you're doing nothing. Come and be the power of just presence, as Mother Teresa would also talk about. I want to put that invitation out tonight. You're all welcome to come and join in what we're doing. It's not because it's great. It's not because we're sort of cutting edge, leading the way in community service in Brisbane. Not at all. We're grassroots. We're small. We're a small team, but a big heart. We also are a ministry of the Emmanuel community, as is Ignite Youth and Emmanuel Worship and many other brands that serve within the church. So we too come from that same wellspring, that same place where we worship, we encounter, we break open the word, we give testimony, experience Christ in the source and summit through the sacrament, through Mass. But it's from that place that we serve, that awakening, as the song said at Mass today, being awakened the Holy Spirit to be able to go forth and take what is very ordinary people, very ordinary 200 people, 150 people in this room, very ordinary students, very ordinary people who work professionally, taking them and responding to that eternal word, that eternal promise that Christ will take us into eternity, that Christ will be with us, and the greatest gift we can achieve is to reach out to those in need. I want to, while we talk about this sort of idea of kind of following, I just can't help but want to just acknowledge some people tonight. I want anyone with a red shirt on tonight to stand up, please. You don't need to do anything else, just stand. If you've got a red shirt from that's an Ignite Youth red shirt, I mean. Stand up, guys. Yep. I want the sound team. These guys often are not always, anyone who's on the, yep, our sound guy, if you can stand up. Lucas, Caleb, yep. Really anybody that's serving here tonight, I don't want to miss anyone. So anyone who serves at this event tonight, I want the band to come out on stage. Dom and the team. You know, I sort of give this spiel tonight, and it sounds like, well, Robbie's kind of doing his thing. Every person standing right now is doing their thing too. They've also had the same experience that I've had. And it's because of that experience they rock up here every month doing what they do. And this idea of coming to follow Jesus. Now, these people are a part of more than just service roles where they come here. Now, tomorrow night, this team will be gathering just to stop and come back to the heart of what it is we're about at our team night, both worship and Ignite Youth. It's good for you guys to know this stuff. We come together and we get fed very much by being together in fellowship, being together in our relationships. I can't help but want to acknowledge these people because it's because of these people every year in, year out that this event happens. That anyone new here tonight coming along for the first time, it's because of these people. Anyone who's been here a million times, it's because of these people this year that they put their hand up. You know what I think? I think God would want you to put your hand up tonight too. These guys have put their hands up. They've laid down their Sunday. Some people have been here since probably midday today, setting up in some way. You know, I tell you that it's all about the poor, the hungry, the lonely. I tell you, it's all about those people. It is. It really is. It really is. It's more than tonight, following Jesus. More following Him is more than tonight. It really is about those things. But you know, I talked about my friend in high school. You know, if he was 14 and I'd have welcomed him along to something like tonight, if I'd have had something so awesome where these red shirts and this team was serving, maybe he might have had an encounter of Jesus. Maybe he might have had an opportunity to go, well, Lord, you know what? I lay down this pain. He had a broken family. He had a busted up background in his life. Maybe he could have, well, not like tonight, maybe he could have just surrendered that and said, you know what, there's something greater to live for. And then maybe I could have been his friend and walked with him. And as he followed, I could have followed. So I believe tonight that for you young people and for all those gathered tonight, the Lord's calling us to bring up many with us, to experience Him, to encounter Him as the blind man did, to then worship and pay homage, to bow down before Him and say, Lord, thank you, a heart of gratitude. But then also to say, come and follow me. Come walk with me. Come experience God's mercy. Come experience God's love. But let's do something about it. Let's respond as Mother Teresa did, as Mary MacKillop did, as so many holy men and women have done before. So there's an opportunity, but we might kill the lights on the floor for a second if we could, and the red shirts can sit down and the rest of the team. We can kill the floor lights for a second. I want to ask you to stand tonight if you're someone who maybe is going to recommit to following Jesus tonight. I want to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to stand if maybe for the first time you feel like maybe I'm going to step out of the deep and I'm going to respond maybe to someone in my life that is very much what Matthew's gospel suggests. Someone who's in my family or someone who's in my circle of influence that's hungry, that's naked, that in some way is within need and has a level of vulnerability. I want you to stand here tonight and say and make a commitment to God. I think God's about commitments. I've learned that in my life. I want you to stand if in some way tonight you feel like maybe you are a bit like that friend of mine. You are that person for the first time and you sort of need to start this journey in some ways. I want you to stand. So let's do that now, guys. And I'm just going to say a prayer to wrap up this thing. So if you want to stand with me now, as Lord Jesus, we ask you, Holy Spirit, to come tonight. We're in this season of Lent where you do incredible things. We're in this season where we expect, God, that you will purify our hearts, that you will come into our lives in a new way. Jesus, like the blind man, we open our hearts tonight to encounter you. We open our hearts tonight to encounter your love, to encounter the healing, the forgiveness, the mercy, the second chance. Experience a new beginning tonight. Jesus, from that place, we seek to serve tonight, Lord Jesus. We stand as a servant tonight, Lord God. We stand tonight with the expectation that you will use our yes, that you will take us deeper and further on this journey as we seek to follow you, Lord. Lead us towards those in our families, in our communities that are vulnerable. Lord, those who consider themselves insignificant, those who feel lost, least, outcast. Jesus, tonight we're going to go for you. We're going to go for those people, Lord Jesus. But it's from this place tonight we're going to go, Lord Jesus. Lord, call us, send us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just give you this night.
That was Robbie Curtis with Come Follow Me. For more from Ignite Youth and to find out about Ignite Conference, visit igniteyouth.com. And for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.